Joining the program now is cowboy poet Terry Nash. Welcome, Terry.
Well, thanks, Luke. Glad to be there.
Yeah, I'm glad to have you. We're talking because you are one of the featured poets at the National Cowboy Poetry Gathering in Elko, Nevada in a couple of weeks. Are you excited?
Oh, I'm excited. I just can't get there quick enough. It's a whole bunch of fun.
Is it your first time there as a performer?
No, sir. I'm invited back for, this is my second time.
Oh.
And so, yeah, it's a pretty big deal to me, at least.
Why is it a big deal for you to go to Elko?
Well, there are so many poets and musicians that want to get to Elko that haven't yet. It's a pretty, well, not a select group, but it's just a pretty big plum to be invited. Uh-huh. It's the big show in the nation.
Yeah, the granddaddy of them all, so to speak.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's been going for 34 years. Have you been aware of this for a long time?
I've been aware of it since it started.
In fact, I
made several trips there just to go to the shows and back in the 90s. And then when I started performing, in gatherings, then I started applying to Elko, and they finally noticed me recently.
Wow. So what does it take? So you say apply. Is that something anybody can do? And then they investigate you to see if you've produced books or CDs, or how does that work?
Well, they've got a process. You send them an application you can get online from their website, and then you send samples of your work, written poetry, and if you've made CDs, and some select CD tracks, and then they have a committee, a three-person committee that goes over them, an anonymous committee, so nobody knows who's going to choose you.
Okay. to keep those people safe, I guess.
Well, yeah, I suppose to keep anything from getting compromised.
Well, for a long time, the National Cowboy Poetry Gathering in Elko was the only cowboy poetry gathering, but in poking around the last week since I've started researching it, there's poetry gatherings all over the place these days.
There are.
In fact,
I'm going to, a month after Elko, I'm going down to Alpine, Texas, to the Texas Cowboy Poetry Gathering, and it's just right behind as far as length. I think it's like 32 years now.
Huh. What a great time to be in Alpine, Texas, early March. I'll bet it's perfect.
Yeah, it is. It's nice to go down there, down in the Big Bend country.
And it's
a big gathering, too. I really enjoy it.
Well, I even discovered that there's a cowboy poetry gathering in Glade Park, for God's sake, right up there above Grand Junction.
Yeah, Glade Park and Grand Junction. I'm chairman of the board of the committee for the Grand Junction. It's actually the Western Slope Cowboy Gathering.
Oh.
First weekend in November every year.
Oh, so you just had that one then?
Yeah, we did. We did. It was our second annual.
Uh-huh.
But the Glade Park thing's been going on. In fact, I'm invited to it in August.
And I also, there's one in Gateway, too.
Yeah, I go to that one every year.
Now, so, can somebody actually make a living on the cowboy poetry gathering circuit?
There are a few people that probably do. I'm sure not one of them. there's I can think of three or four off the top of my head that are probably doing pretty good at it.
Uh-huh. Well, I know that one of the things you like to do is expose people to the classics of cowboy poetry.
Yes.
Who and what are the classics? Tell me more.
Oh, there's a bunch of them. There's a lot of them out there that are, the poetry's over 100 years old, most of it is. And the Bruce Kiskaden and Charles Badger Clark, Henry Herbert Nibbs, S. Omar Barker. That's four that I can think of, but there's a bunch of them.
Did you say Ma Barker?
No, S. Omar. Oh, Barker.
Okay. I was going to say, Ma Barker was a cowboy poet.
Well, not so far as I know, but maybe.
Terry Nash, what is a cowboy poet?
Oh, gosh. A cowboy poet, I'll tell you, my definition of cowboy poetry is it speaks to the life. It keeps the heritage, the cowboy heritage alive, and it's poems about the cowboy life. Horses and cattle and the work and the fun and the, you just name it, anything that goes along with cowboys. And I'll tell you, we're an inventive lot, these cowboy poets. I'll write a poem about almost anything.
Were the Sons of the Pioneers cowboy poets?
I think they wrote some of the songs, but I'm not that well versed on their. I mean, I've heard their music all my life, but I don't know who wrote the stuff.
Well, I guess my point is that there's that classical Western music, you know, Home on the Range, Don't Fence Me In, all that kind of thing. But that's distinguished from cowboy poetry.
Yes. I see. Well, although, you know, a lot of the Western songs started out as poems.
Okay.
And a lot of that stuff started out, a lot of the poems were adapted from the old Irish sea poems, songs, I guess you'd say.
Okay.
And so.
Well, that makes sense, because there were a lot of immigrants from Ireland that came over to this country, and I'm sure a fair number of them ended up out west cowboying.
Yes, sir. Yep.
What do you think accounts for the popularity of cowboy poetry in the 21st century?
I think we've all got some agriculture in our background. Most of the people, it might be two or three or four generations removed, but people hear this and they, well, myself, for instance, when I first started hearing cowboy poetry in the late 80s, I was amazed. I thought, you can write about this stuff. They're writing about my life. Hmm. So that really sparked me, and it sparks others, too. But people hear what Grandpa used to do in the poetry, or maybe what their dad was like. And so it doesn't take much to get somebody enthused about cowboy poetry.
Hmm. Interesting. And you say that cowboy poems are about just about anything.
Sure.
But I wonder if... Is that the way that cowboy poets speak to a modern audience? Is because it's not about sitting around the fire drinking rock gut whiskey. It's about, you know, the hay baler breaking down or whatever.
Yeah, it's about the real life. Yeah. Huh. And you can't fake this stuff. It comes from the real life.
Well, I noticed in looking over all the bios on the National Cowboy Poetry Gathering website that most of the people involved are working ranchers in one degree or another.
Yes. Yes, they are.
Is that a requirement to be a cowboy poet?
No. It helps.
It helps.
It helps, but no, it's not a requirement. There's varying degrees. When you look at all the bios, there's some that haven't been on a ranch in a long, long time, but they're still speaking about the life.
I wonder if you'd read a couple of your poems for us.
Sure, I'd be glad to.
Oh, great.
I'll give you a Bruce Kiskaden poem that I really love to recite. It's called When Your Throat. If a feller's been astraddle since he's big enough to ride and has had to throw a saddle over ever sort of hide, though it's nothing they take pride in, most of fellers that I've knowed, if they've ever done much riding, have at various times been throwed. Yet perhaps it's when you're starting on roundup some fine day and you feel a bit uncertain about this little walleye bay, where he swells to beat the nation while you're cinching up your slack and he keeps the elevation in your saddle at the back. He's a raring and jumping, and he strikes when you get near, but you cuss him and you thump him till you get him by the ear. Then your right hand grabs the saddle and you catch a stirrup too, and you aim to light a straddle like some woolly buckaroo. Buddy drops his head and switches, and he gives a backwards jump, and out of reach the stirrup twitches, and your right spur grabs his rump. And then stay with him, yells some feller, but you know it's hope forlorn, and you feel a streak of yeller when you choke the saddle horn. And then you feel one rein a-dropping, and you know he's got his head, and now your shirt tail's out and flopping, and your saddle pulls like lead. And then ain't no use for trying, for your spurs begin to slip, and now you're upside down and flying, and the horn tears from your grip. And you get a vague sensation as upon the ground you roll, like a violent separation twixt your body and your soul. And you land again in a hummock where you lay and gasp for breath. Something grabs your stomach like the awful clutch of death. And the landscape around you totters when at last you try to stand, and you're shaky on your trotters, and your mouth is full of sand. They all swear you beat a circus or a hoochie-coochie dance, mopping up the canyon surface with the bosom of your pants. And there's fellers gives prescriptions how a bronco should be rode, but no one gives descriptions of the last time he got throwed. Bruce gets catting.
That's a classic, yeah. A hoochie-coochie dance. What's that?
I don't know. Somebody, you're probably a lot younger than me. I can remember hearing about hoochie-coochie dances in the carnivals. But
the old blues artists sing about hoochie-coochie, and you know it's probably a euphemism for something. But I
expect it I don't... Maybe we had not to delve into that too far, Luke.
Yeah, well, let's not go there. This is for a family audience, right?
Yeah.
Hey, I saw one of your poems online called Skype. I wonder if you'd read that. It's pretty funny.
Yes, I would. I enjoy doing that. And I took this, I got the inspiration for this poem from a friend of mine who asked me if I had a Twitter account. And I said, heavens no, I wouldn't even know how to use one to start with. And I was drug kicking and screaming into the Facebook age, but I'm guilty of Facebook. But that sparked this idea, and I titled my poem Skype. And then in parentheses in the title, there's a hashtag, and it says, hashtag, don't get this pound sign stuff. I never thought I'd ever Twitter, nor considered that I'd tweet. I keep my hashtags to myself and my sentences complete. I used to think that Facebook just happened when in bed and you drifted off mid-paragraph and your novel hits your head. But now I've got this smartphone with a touchscreen and some apps and, well, I'm feeling kind of trendy. And I figure, yes, perhaps I'll polish up my technique and succumb to the latest hype. I'll brush my stash, clean my hat, and call someone in Skype. Now, I figured just this morning I'd be sure to catch old Claude. When he sees my grinning face, there's no doubt he'll be awed. So I called him bright and early just to catch him home, and I had never seen him hatless, but the glare off his old dome plum blinded me at first. And then when he started into talking, he hadn't stuck his teeth in yet, and it's sort of like he's squawking. And Claude didn't know he was Skyping. He held the phone up just to listen. And I swear I seen plumb through him, confirming my suspicion that some cowboys got dang little twixt their left ear and their right. Next time I Skype old Claude, it'll be in the dark of night. And that's one of my original poems.
Oh, that's a funny one. It reminds me of a picture I saw maybe 17 years ago, right around the turn of the millennium. And it was a classic picture of a cowboy in the saddle looking at the sunset, but he's got a cell phone to his ear.
Uh-huh.
And I thought that was pretty hilarious.
Yeah.
Kind of shocking, too.
There's a woman.
Go ahead.
There's a woman named Margot Matagrano. She's the brains behind the website cowboypoetry.com. And it's an amazing website. Everything on it. If there's any cowboy poetry out there or poet, she's probably got him on that page. But she posted my Skype poem on her Facebook page recently, and she attached a photo to it of two cowboys standing with each other in the lobby somewhere, and they're both on their phones instead of you know, talking to each other.
That's funny. Well, speaking of newfangled things, I noticed on your website that you don't have any books for sale, but you do have CDs for sale.
Yes, sir. I had a book out that I ran out of print, and they weren't selling that well. Folks would rather have CDs.